voice is there, I think, don't you? Amen. Thank the Lord. I appreciate that. Turn to 1 John. Again, welcome to all our friends in the internet radio audience. And we're glad that you're here as a part of our services today. And then we want to continue to remember all the friends I mentioned, if you will. Please remember them and Brother Bobby and his family, and ask God's blessing. And that this pacemaker is going to do just exactly what needs to be done. He'll be out, be home, and all the rest of them that we requested prayer for. And sir?
Andrew.
Okay, amen. Remember him in prayer too, if you will. Amen. And ask God's blessing. Oh, I am so sorry. I misunderstood what he said. Andrew Benson is home. He serves as a Marine. Let's welcome him. And thank God for Andrew being home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Andrew. Thank the Lord for you. Amen. 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 I know that embarrasses him to death, but aren't we proud of him? Thank God for him. Amen. And Miss LaRue Crabtree came in with her granddaughter this morning. We're sure glad she's here. We've been praying for her, and thank the Lord. Amen. How great thou art. You know, I don't have any conception of how great God is. Oh, I have a pretty good idea. But for me and you, with our little finite mind to comprehend an infinite, holy, sovereign God, no way we can do that. I've been reading this Gospel of John now for 6 or 7 months before I started preaching on it. And I've been gleaning a few things, and I hope you have. Tonight, I will come back to this book and talk about, he said, if we confess our sins, faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And now I want to talk to you tonight about how to stay clean. But this morning, there's a little phrase that I've read over and over again. And as I've kind of looked at a few other commentators, they just kind of go over it quickly as well. But somehow or another, it got lodged in my heart last week or two. And I want to read it to you this morning and ask God to help us to think about that for a few moments and about how great our God is. In chapter 1 of the book of 1 John, will you look with me, please, at verse number 5. And this is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would breathe. Thank you for the wonderful singing, our Father, Brother Linwood, and the choir and the congregation this morning, for the sweet Spirit of God that's moving here in this place. And I pray, God, that you'd help me. God, you know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And God, I need the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on me this morning and help me. I pray that God, you would shine the light of your glorious gospel into the heart of some. And Lord, I pray that your people would be helped and encouraged. And those, our Father, who don't know Christ, God, I pray you'd convict them, draw them by your grace, and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I pray you'd get all the glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. He is a great God. If I was to ask you today to describe God in one word, no doubt many of you'd say, God is love. Or you'd say power or majesty or whatever. But God is light, is what it says right here. God is light. What does it mean when we read this passage of Scripture that God is light? Now, here's what got a hold of my heart as I reread this passage of Scripture several times. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was incarnate in human flesh, God in human flesh, said to us and taught us that God the Father is light. This is not John's impression, but he said that Jesus said that his Father was light. And yet I didn't have hardly any conception of what that means. I've looked through different commentators and there are various things that said about it, and I felt like God spoke to my heart about some things. But what does it mean that God is light? Well, there is a comparison here. He says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there's a comparison between light and darkness. And God is light. He is infinite light. It says not that he sheds light, or not that he created light, but that God is light. God is light. And here he is opposed to darkness. And he goes on and he talks about fellowship and walk with God. If we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. Why? Because of the awesomeness of that life. The life of God inside of you. We heard the word of God and God saved us and the Holy Spirit of God came into us. Jesus Christ came in our heart and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm light. And light came inside of us. And when God lives inside of us, he said that there's no darkness. Here he is, God living inside of us. When I think about the light, I think about life. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word lighted was the light of every man. That light is the light of the gospel. It's the message that he declares. It's the person of Christ. It's the person of God himself. He's light. God is light. When I think about light, I think about his holiness. He's holy. We think about the brightness of his light. You go through the Bible and you'll see that when Paul was on the Damascus Road, there was a bright light that shone around him. And then when Moses was called, there was a bush that was burning. It was not consumed. And the brightness of that thing caused him to stop. And God dealt with Moses and called him to lead the children of Israel out. God is light. I went back and I read through the creation account and I noticed something. I'm not going to deal with it this morning. Just kind of get you thinking a little bit. And it said that in John chapter, in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, it's not till 16 verses later that he says he creates the sun. Where did that light come from? Where was the initial light from? It was the light of the glory of God. It was his light. He pulled back the veil on this vast that had no form. And his light, light of this world. He is light. He's light. He is a consuming light. Matter of fact, as you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, let me read this while I'm giving an introduction this morning. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 16, I found this very awesome statement. It's referring to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said here, Paul is writing young Timothy, and he's talking about him. Verse 15, which in times past you have showed who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's talking about Jesus, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen. He said, God is light, and Jesus Christ is in that light. He's God incarnate human flesh. And he said, no man can approach it. No man can see it. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses said, God, show me your glory. He'd heard God speak. He knew God's presence. But he said, God, I want to see you. And here's what he said. No man can see me and live. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and you'll see the hinder part of my glory. Just a little glimpse of it. And that's all he saw was just a little glimpse. And truth be known, all I know about God and all you know about God, and I have a pretty big concept of God. When I think about his creation and the heavens declaring his glory, his awesome power, he knows everything, all those things. When I think about all those things, I got a pretty good comprehension of who God is. But do you know it's just a speck in the economy of God? Light speaks of his holiness. Light speaks of his righteousness. Light speaks of his knowledge. Life speaks of joy and happiness that flows out of him. Light speaks of his glory. Darkness, on the other hand, speaks of death and ignorance and sin and depravity and misery and guilt. But God is the complete opposite of any of that. He wants for us to have life. He wants us to know him and know his son. He wants us to know the truth of the word of God. He wants us to live a life free from the burden and the guilt of sin. He wants us to know joy and gladness. These things have I spoken that my joy might be in you, he said to his disciple. And then he said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you peace. He wants you to have joy and peace. And all of it comes from the God of light, from God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's light. The only thing I can kind of halfway relate to is the sun. I shared with you a while ago that he said, let there be light, and then later he creates a sun. He created two lights, he said, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Now I'm going to just throw this out. I personally believe at one time the moon had some light. I believe it went out. I believe it went out when sin came into the world. And it's just like lost people. Adam walked with God and fellowship with God, but when he sinned, he died spiritually, just like the moon turned dark. And from then on, the darkness of night was even darker. Oh, my dear friend, listen. Sin is an awful thing. It blights man. It destroys man. But here, listen. I thought about the sun. I got to thinking I didn't take time to go through the internet. And that's a labor of love for me. But I did remember that in the 70s, I preached a series on light. And I'm sure my resource was the World Book Encyclopedia. Does anybody know what an encyclopedia is? All right. And some of you are old as I am. And I found out two things. One, there was a lot of information in that series I did, and my mind was evidently a lot sharper then than it is now. And two, my eyesight was 100% about it because I can't even read what I wrote in those notes back in 70. But I gleaned a few things, and I did look up a few things about our sun. And some of you who are students in high school or elementary school even, they probably know far more about it than I do. I'm kind of like Brother Jesse Norris. I don't know all I know about it. But I do know that our sun is 110 times larger than this earth. It's 93 million miles away. And if that light goes out, we're gone. In a matter of hours, this world would be dead if there was no light coming from the sun. When you think about that sun and the awesomeness of that sun and think about all there is about it, the light traveling and through a vacuum travels over 186,000 miles per second. I don't know if you can comprehend that or not. 186,000 miles per second. Brother John Langdon and I were talking the other day, and when he had the racing track with the go-karts, he one time went down to Daytona. He drove a go-kart on Daytona Speedway, 110 miles an hour. And he said, you get up going and said, you don't have a concept of speed until you get ready to come back into the pits. Then you begin to relate. But can you imagine light traveling at 186,000 miles per hour and how it travels and how it comes to us? That sun generates in one square meter on its surface a 100,000 horsepower of energy, and it's been doing it continually since creation. There's such a force of power that I can't comprehend it. The awesomeness of the light radiated from it, I can't comprehend it. The heat generated on the surface of that ball that's been burning ever since creation. It's been on fire ever since creation, and yet it's not any smaller now than it's ever been. The heat generated on the face of the moon is 16,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's just awesome to think about our sun. And yet, with the Hubble telescope, they found suns more powerful, larger than our sun. And out of that awesome power that's generated coming from that sun, we receive only 2,200th of a millimeter of it. And so we just get a speck of the energy that's coming off of that thing. There are light rays that come off of there, waves that come off. And in the spectrum of light, there are seven different colors. You see it in a rainbow. And the top one is violet, and above that is called ultraviolet. No, we don't see that with a human eye. And the lowest one is red, and all the rays coming off of that, we don't see. That's called infrared. In other words, there's a tremendous amount of light coming off the moon that our eyes can't see. And the truth be known, and I read this statement, you science teachers helped me, and I found it two different places. It said that pure light is invisible to human eye. You said, well, I see a flashlight, and I see those lights. The truth of the matter is that pure light You don't see that. It's invisible. You only see what it illuminates. Isn't that an amazing statement? You don't see it, but you see what it illuminates. God is light. You think about the power of that sun. He spoke that into existence with one word. One word. And the power that he has as light is astounding. Oh, you think about it. And so much that we don't see. And the only thing we can see is illumination. I was talking to someone recently who had an X-ray, and then later somebody who had an MRI. And I was talking to the individual who had the X-ray, and I said, now, you know, there's a lot of things that the X-ray can't see because it's a lower light ray, and it's a light. It's really light that shines through your body. It's kind of like you taking a flashlight and holding up to a piece of paper. You put the paper there, and you can't see through it, but when you shine the flashlight on it, you can see something through it on the other side, or at least movement. Well, the X-ray works just like that. And it looks through the tissues of your body and it sees the dense flesh, the dense density of the bones that are in there. But inside of your body, there's all kind of ligaments and tissues that they can't see. But an MRI can see that. Katie, my granddaughter, gave me a book on it happened in North Carolina. Did you know the first successful X-ray ever done in America was done by a professor out of Davidson College? He built his own X-ray. He'd read about one. I think in France, or somebody had developed it many, many years ago. And then he had the components. He built one himself. And he helped save a little girl's life down at Charlotte. She'd swallowed a thimble. And they couldn't figure out where it was at or what was going on, if she was something else wrong with her. But he got that thing set up, and they found that little thimble. The thing that was causing her to die was located with light. And it happens every day now. It's able to penetrate the human body to see internal organs. It's light. That's what an MRI is, like light. X-ray is light. And it can see deep into the recesses of your body. But he's light, and he can see into your heart. He said God looks on the heart, not your physical heart. But he looks right now. He's light. He can see every thought you're having. He sees every sin in your life. He sees every lust in your mind. He sees it all. He's an awesome God. He is light. The Bible said there's nothing hid from him. You can't hide from him. You can't hide it into your memory. You can't hide it into your heart. He sees every bit of it. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. He is light, and that light shines in there. And really, did you know that, and I need a little studying on this, a lot of studying on this, but what real light waves are actually protons, little bitty invisible things to the eye, and they are little bundles, if you will, of energy. And they're radiating off that sun, and it's such a concentration of them. And I was talking to you a while ago about the spectrum and the violet, and the violet is 710 trillion of those little protons packed together, traveling. And there are 710 trillion of them that are compacted and pass every second. That much energy just concentrated. And it's an amazing thing. And he is light. And his light is energy and power. Thy word have I hid into my heart. It shall be a light unto my path. I'll deal with that tonight. The light is power. The Word of God is quick and powerful. How can the Word be so powerful? Because it is the light of the Word of God. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's light. God is light. You say, Brother Billy, what's that got to do with things? God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Two or three little quick things, and I'll finish, and I'll try to elaborate on some of this a little bit later. But God is light. I'm going to get you thinking. You say, what would He have to do to destroy this world? Just withdraw His presence and cut off the light. We'd be dead in hours. No light. No light. Because, number one, light reveals. Light reveals. His light reveals to us. He knows everything. His light sees everything about us, but His light also reveals to us. It reveals to us our sin nature. If we say that we have no sin in verse number 8, that has reference to our old sin nature. Paul said, I know that in me and my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You have an old sin nature. And you'll keep saying I'm as good as anybody else, and you certainly are, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we talk about the fact that we are not bad, but when God's light shines on us, we see it. Perry and Terry, when GP passed away, I walked up right at the time that the doctor had a laptop there to show, I believe Terry was there, their daddy's lungs. They'd been treating GP for pneumonia and first one thing and another. And when she pulled that up on the screen, you could see the black mass. And she said, that's cancer. That's cancer. It was already there. And it's like sin in our heart. God knows it's there. But He'll reveal it to us. And He doesn't do it with a laptop. He does it with the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He speaks to our heart and reveals to us that we have an old sin nature. The reason we sin is because we got an old sin nature. And you can quit doing everything you call sin right now. You still die and go to hell because you got to do something about that old nature. But it not only reveals that nature of sin, but He also reveals the deeds of sin. And He said, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. And He said, if you confess your sins. And so as a believer too, His light shines on me and it shows me my sin. He reveals our sin. Oh, He's light. And He reveals not only our sin, but He reveals the Savior. Wow. It's something. You know, when we went on vacation, I think Denise and them are here this morning. I don't know what they got to go or not to Cody. But in Cody, there's a Museum of the West. And Buffalo Bill, they got a whole exhibit to him in there. And when you come up to the door to go into that, it's a big cased opening, there's a hologram. It's Buffalo Bill. They've gone back in black and white filming, and they've made a hologram out of it. And what it is, it's just light. But he's there. I mean, he's standing there talking to you. You get right in front of him, and you can tell it's not dense like a human body, but you can see his eyes blink. You can see his mustache. He talks to you, moves his hands. He says things. And that light is there, and it's presenting him in light. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now in heaven, when the Holy Ghost of God shines the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in our hearts, He reveals not only our sin, but He reveals the Savior. And when you think about Calvary and you see Calvary, you see more than a cross. You see a sacrifice. And you understand that He died for you and He bore your sins in His own body. And God, as light, reveals that to you. He shows you your lostness. He shows you the Savior. And my dear friend, by grace, through faith, you're saved. He shows you the way of salvation is by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for many of you, when you did that, boy, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shined in your heart. And you were born again by the grace of God. And you know Him and you love Him. And ever since then, when you come to read the Word of God, God shines light on it. God begins to reveal things. He not only reveals His Savior and He reveals our sin, but He reveals the Scriptures, the light shining on it. I don't see nearly as well as I used to. I have to use glasses. But I found out a lot of my problem is lighting. I can hardly see. I can be in the house and can't see hardly anything on my Bible. If I walk out on the front porch in the sunshine, I could stand there and read it. And I've often done that. Is the sun, if the sun's shining on it, I can see it. And until the Holy Ghost of God shines the light to reveal the Word of God to you, you won't understand it. It's not humanly understood. Natural man receives not things of God. And he reveals his Word to us, reveals the Scripture to us. He's light. He's light. God is light. Light for revealing. But then, I'm going to close. I've got to close. Not only is he, is when I think about the light and I realize he's light to reveal, but he's life through light. His light brings life. It's the light that brings life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and through him it promotes life. We have life through that. It's life-giving, his light in our hearts, life-giving. In the plant world, they have to have the light. And that wonderful process, photosynthesis, where they take the light and they make all the chemicals they need in their plant life to produce fruit and all of those things that comes in through the leaves, and it's created that way. Oh, listen. And then the light shining in my heart brings life, but it also brings growth and fruitfulness. He shines that light in us. And thank God for it. He reveals truth to us. Look over in your Bible, please. Two passages of Scripture, and I'll be through. One is in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. God's light. He'll reveal to you that you're lost. Reveal to you your old nature. Reveal to you this, your sin, the Savior that you need to be saved. And if he's done that for you, you ought to say amen. Say amen. Amen. If he's revealed the Scriptures to you, say amen. Amen. I never would know this passage of Scripture in real reality. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would not have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's not a Bible story to me. That's reality. And it's the light of the Holy Ghost of God. It's the light of God that revealed that to me and made it real to me. Listen, if you will, in 2 Corinthians, and what a tragic statement is this encompassed in this little phrase here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4. Let me read verse 3 so you understand. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He said, if you're lost today, Satan may have blinded your mind so the light won't shine in. And it's caused by your unbelief. If you'll believe, if he shines that light on you, if you'll believe. With that said, I want to turn over to chapter number 12 in the Gospel of John. And listen to what he says in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John and verse number 35, if you will, please. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. Oh, I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. I have been saved by the grace of God. That's what the choir sang about. And it's all because the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shined, and I believed that light, and I was saved. And if he spoke to your heart today in the media audience in this building, I want to ask you to do one thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Believe, he said, while you have the light. If today God, Holy Ghost, spoke to your heart in any kind of way, your response is imperative today. Did you know that you might fight through this thing and fight off this feeling you have of conviction and feel like you have won some sort of battle when you step out of these doors, but it's very likely that Satan would blind your eyes and you never, ever again would have another chance to be saved. And when you die, you'll end up in hell for all eternity. It's an awful thing to not believe when the light shines and you will not receive Him, and when you shun Him and you turn your back on Him, you will not accept Him. And by doing that, you open the door for Satan to come and blind your mind so that light will not penetrate and come in and you'll never be saved. Oh, listen, I'm just telling you right now, the Bible said it clearly, and there's no question about it. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you don't know Him, trust Him. He's light. Oh, so many things I'd love to say. The Word of God is our light. He said it to be a light into my path. God's revealing light. Oh, listen. God's light reminds you of the blessedness of heaven and the joy that awaits when Satan tries to beat you down over the death of a loved one, and you come to that place when you're in total despair, depression. It is the precious light of God that shines in your heart to remind you, this is just a little while, He said a while ago. Before long now, we'll be together with our loved ones in heaven again in the light of the glorious gospel of grace. Will you stand with your heads bowed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost, oh God, would speak. I pray God the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine. God, Your light. And I, Father, I can't really fathom how awesome You are, how great You are. I, Father, there's so many aspects of Your light that we don't even see, not spiritually or with a natural eye. But I, Father, when we behold Your glory in the heavens, we think, what is man that You're mindful of him? God, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God would speak to men, women, boys, and girls, and draw them by Your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray as God's people leave here this morning, they'll leave with a greater, Lord, awe of You and who You are and how powerful You are. And God, they'll walk in the light as You're in the light. Help us to honor You by fellowshipping with You. Lord, I pray that You bless Your people and convict and draw the lost, save them for Jesus' sake. While we're standing, we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. There are folk already at the altar. I'm going to ask Brad, if you will, sing a verse of a song. You obey right now. God speaks to your heart. While we're in attitude of prayer, you come gather around this altar. Some of you may be like me this morning. I am sure glad that He shined His light on my heart, showed me I was lost, and showed me the Savior, gave me everlasting light. Now the life lives inside of me, but the light is also inside of me. I want to thank Him this morning for the light of revelation, where He Himself reveals the Word of God to me and helps me to be blessed by it, encouraged by it, grow by it. Maybe you want to do that. God speaks to your heart. You come right now this morning to God speaks to your heart. Brad will sing just a verse or so and we're going to go. Will you come right now? Join these here around the altar. God, speak to hearts right now. God, draw by Your grace. Oh, God, do it. Oh, God.